Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, come early to pray tonight. And let's believe the Lord to continue to move in our services. And you never know where the next outbreak of revival is going to happen. The next family is going to be saved. And we can be a part of it as we, by faith, hold on until the Lord moves in the way that He sees fit. Amen. Luke chapter 11. If you'd stand for the reading of the Word this morning. Words of Christ. He said, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children," I like the language here, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" I was prepared to preach this morning, but yesterday, Brother Brian, he quoted these verses, and then the evangelist got up and used one of the illustrations I was going to use today. I had to get another illustration. But I still believe the Word of God is true. I believe we'll ask, if we'll seek, if we'll knock, I believe there's an answer forthcoming from the Lord. And so I want to preach this morning on the promise of an answer. The promise of an answer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your mercy, Your goodness, and Your love. I pray You'd shut up our hearts together as a people. Shut up our hearts to Your truth, Lord. God, the world, what we'll face next week. Lord, situations maybe that we left at home. God, that those would be shut out and our hearts would be shut up to the truth. And we would hear Your voice as clearly as when You originally spoke these words. Christ and Master, that we would hear these words afresh and anew to our hearts. Lord, meet eternal needs in this house this morning in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Our asking and receiving from God is based on our resolve and our relationship. Our resolve and our relationships. You know, kids figure out their parents in a hurry. And here at church, when my kids needed money, maybe to go somewhere afterwards or for something else, if they needed money after church, they'd catch me talking and come up behind, start pulling on my sleeve. And because I was engaged without thinking, it was reflexive. I'd reach into my pocket trying to keep the conversation going and pull out my money clip and start handing them money. It would catch up with me a little later. How much did I give them? Amen. But you know, the thing to know, first of all, is they didn't go and ask other people. At least I don't think they did. They didn't go and ask other people. They came to Dad. They came to Dad. They asked Dad. And even though I was distracted, it wasn't just distraction that I gave to them. It was because of two things. They wouldn't let up, number one, and number two, they were my kids. I mean, something would click if some other kid came up and did it. Something would click then. Amen. I gave to them because they wouldn't let up, and they were my kids. I can't put Jesus' words any better better than that. Don't give up, and you are His kid. Hallelujah. Don't give up, and you are His kid. The promise of an answer. This promise of Jesus has been of so much comfort to those with desperate and ongoing impossible situations. It has encouraged people never to give up on an answer from God. To keep on asking. I know. Some folks see this verse as just another way to try to wrangle things they want out of God. They make it some kind of formula that if we get the art down right, then God has to give us the thing that we want. We can twist God's arm. But that's not what these verses are about at all. Even they're not about just a way to finagle what you want to get out of God. They're deeper than that. I kind of believe that His brother James, Jesus' half-brother James, must have had these words of Jesus on his mind and heart when he wrote in his epistle. He said, number one, ye have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. But in a balance to that, he said in the next verse, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. You know, James said two things. Number one, he said some folks aren't receiving simply because they're not asking. Amen. And that is true. Even this morning, some are not receiving because they're not asking. But he said there's others, they're asking, but they're not asking for what God wants to give. They're not asking for what God wants to do in their lives. But that changes nothing of Jesus' promise. Because those who really believe in God, who really believe in His power, who really believe in His goodness, they're asking, they're seeking, and they're knocking, and they're not going to give up because they know God, true to His Word, is going to respond and give to them. Amen. To those folks, the source of all they want, the source of all they need is God Himself. To those folks, they know they don't have to go and look elsewhere. They're not going to look elsewhere. They're going to keep coming back to God over and over again. To those folks that keep asking, they don't want to, nor will they ever turn to another source. They're coming to the Father. They know who their Father is. They know they're His children, and they're not going to quit coming until the answer's on its way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many's ready to ask and to seek and to knock? Hallelujah. I noticed some important things. That's why I said these words are so much deeper. First of all, I noticed the resolve this is talking about. The resolve. Ask shall be given. Seek. Verse 9. You shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This is not a perfunctory asking. This is not a ritualistic asking. This is asking the right, not asking the right thing, but really not caring whether you receive it or not. That's not what it's talking about. I know what to ask God for, and I ask Him for it, but it's not really the thing I care to receive. It's not asking for the thing that you desire, but you're not really desiring the one who would give you that thing. That's like a young man finding out a young girl can cook real well and asking her to fix a meal for him. He's not interested in the young girl. He's interested in her cooking. Amen. And sometimes we're like that with God. We're not really interested in God, but we're asking Him of things because we see Him as a source of what we want. It's not talking. That's not the gist of Jesus' promise. The gist of His promise is is that this is not a casual request that we make. It's not just a desperate, episodic, periodic plea. It's not using God as a venting machine or a genie out of a lamp. No, it's not that at all. What Jesus is saying here, amen, it's people with resolve, people who do not give up on God, people who come and keep on coming, pray and keep on praying, live for God and keep on living for God. It's those that see the answer. Amen. Jesus had been praying. It was His example of prayer that triggered something in the disciples' hearts. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus then gave them an example of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. But Jesus went on from that. He said, I'll tell you what prayer's like. You have a friend that shows up in the night and he's hungry and you have nothing to feed him. And so you go next door to your neighbor and you knock on the door and say, I've had somebody show up. I've got to feed him. I don't have any bread. I smelt your wife's bread cooking last night. I know you got some in there. Get up and give me some bread. He says, oh no, I'm not doing that. It's past midnight. I'm asleep. My children's in bed. You're going to wake the whole house. Go on. You got the dog barking. Go on home. Oh no, said the man. He said, I've got to have bread. Go on home. Leave me alone. I'll give you some in the morning. Let the guy fast till breakfast. No, no, no. I'm not going away. Finally, Jesus said, though the man would not give him because he was his friend, but because of his importunity, because he did not give up, because he was resolved, he gets out of bed and brings the bread. I don't know about you, but I have smelt the bread cooking from heaven. It's not time to be discouraged and to give up and give out. It's time to say, God, I've smelt the bread. I'm coming for bread, and I'm not leaving without bread from heaven. It's importunity. I don't know if you notice in this verse, but each activity is a more intense effort to receive what is increasingly hard to get to. It's a progression of greater and greater persistence. You ask. That's pretty persistent. But beyond asking, you become more persistent. You seek. You seek for something which is even harder to get a hold of than just what you ask for. But if you don't receive it, then you go even more intense than asking and seeking. You knock. And by the way, in Bible culture times, a knock was not a rap on the door. It was standing in front of the door and raising your voice and trying to rouse the one within. If you remember, Jesus said in Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, he was knocking with his voice. This is an increasing of intensity. This is a passionate, persistent seeking God. I'll tell us, as people, we will seek for what we desire. We will seek for what we feel is missing. We'll ask for what we desire. We seek for what we feel like we're missing, and we'll knock for that which we feel shut out from and kept from. In fact, these activities aren't unique to humanity. All humanity have these activities in their lives. Everybody's asking and seeking and knocking. The problem is, many are asking but not of God. They are seeking but they're not seeking in God. They are knocking but it's not God's door that they're knocking at. Oh, ask, seek, knock, but knock at His door. Seek in His house. Ask before His throne. When people quit diligently asking the Father for things, it's because they really don't care anymore for what He would give them. I want to say that again. When people quit asking for things from God, it's because they've come to a point they're no longer interested in what God could give them. People want to seek where they desire instead of seeking where they're sure to find. I said folks begin to seek where they desire to be rather than seeking where they're sure to find. That reminds me, years ago there was a little boy out of the night street. He was under the street light and he was looking for something diligently. A man walked up the street on him and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I lost something." The man said, "What did you lose?" He said, "I lost my silver dollar." And the man said, "Well, I'll help you look. Did you lose it somewhere around here?" And the boy said, "Oh no, I lost it up the street quite a ways." And the man said, "Why in the world are you seeking here for?" He said, "Sir, because there's no street light up there." People are seeking where they want what they desire, but they're not going to find what they need. They're not seeking at the right place. Amen. You seek for the things your soul desperately needs in this world, and you'll never find it. You're looking under the wrong street lamp. Amen. It's God's door to knock on. It's in His house that we seek. It's before His throne that we ask. The greatest indictment against those who profess to be the people of God is that they say that Jesus is the answer, and yet they seek the things of the world, and they seek everything and everywhere but in Him. I'm telling you, if He is the answer, seek in Him. Hallelujah. If He's the only way, look in Him. If He's the only source, ask of Him. Why? Why would someone quit asking? It may be they did not really want the thing, but it may be they did not get that thing they asked of God. Amen. They either didn't want it or they didn't get it, and so they quit. But Jesus said, have a resolve. Keep asking. I want to ask the question this morning. Can you ask God for the thing that you secretly desire? That thing you secretly desire, is it something you can ask God for? Do you care to ask God? Do you believe Him enough to ask Him? Amen. Many do not really believe God can help. That's why they look elsewhere. Oh, hallelujah. But to give up asking God is to give up on God. I said to give up asking God is to give up on God. I don't know how you feel, but I'm not going to give up on God. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking. Hallelujah. Because His promise is true. The promise of an answer. And then there's repetition. Verse 9, ask, seek, knock. By the way, this only works in English. But notice the acronym of those three activities. Ask, seek, and knock. Take the first letter of each of those and you have the ask again. A for ask, S for seek, K for knock. But what I want you to notice in particular about these. Verse 10, he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. These are verbs of continuous, habitual, progressive repetition. In other words, if you were to translate this just strictly literally, Jesus was saying, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Amen. You see, we have some in the church realm, they've got smarter than God's Word. Yes, sir, they have. I've heard them preach it. I've read it in their material. If you ask God for something more than once, it shows a lack of faith. They don't know their Bible and they don't know their God. I would rather say, if you ask for something only once, that shows your lack of faith. It takes faith when it wasn't received the first time to ask again. And when it wasn't received the 113th time to ask again. There's where the faith enters in. That's where the trust of God enters in. It's not a lack of faith if you ask God more than once. It's a lack of faith that once you've asked, not to keep asking. And once you've sought, not to keep seeking. And once you've knocked, not to keep knocking. Many have got right to asking God in desperation for heart-rending things. I mean, they know only God can help. And they begin to ask Him in desperation. But as soon as it appears that things aren't going to work out as they wanted, the seeking stops. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You've seen it. I've seen it over the years. People come in with desperate family situations, job situations, physical situations. I mean, they get right to asking God, fix the marriage, do this, heal the body. I mean, they get really with it. But if the answer's not forthcoming immediately, if the answer doesn't come in the way they see fit, they give up on asking. I'm not trying to harangue them or berate them. I'm just saying Jesus said there's a better way. You haven't got the answer yet. You haven't got the answer you desire. But make sure you just keep on. Keep on asking. Keep seeking. Keep asking when you're not getting the answer you want to hear. Keep seeking even when you're not finding what you want to find. Keep knocking even when the door you want to be open isn't open. You've come to the altar 100 times. Come again. You went to the prayer closet 1,000 times. Go again. Could it be our saving isn't in just receiving from God, but our salvation is in an attitude of persistence. Even when I don't seem to be receiving, I'm still coming. Even though the answer doesn't seem to be on its way, I'm still knocking. Hallelujah. Then, in these verses, there's the relationship. Thank God. Verse 10. Ask, he that asketh receiveth, seeketh findeth, knock. It's open. Why? Verse 11 tells us why. By means of illustration. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? See, Jesus says this whole promise is based on relationship. The assurance of the answer. And what that answer is dependent upon the relationship of the asker and the giver. And Jesus said that relationship is that of a son and a father. God is not heartless. God is not a mindless vending machine that you manipulate. God's not an online shopping cart to deposit the items you wish for and then hit continue to check out. God's not that. God answers prayer on the basis of His relationship with us. He is our Father. And could I say, He is not a reluctant Father. Neither distracted nor reluctant. Now here's what Jesus says, and we got to get this. Based on relationship, get it. When you're asking God, God may not give you the very thing you desire, but He certainly will not give you a bad thing. It may not be the exact thing that you desire, because He's got wisdom beyond ours. But you can rest assured of one thing. He's not going to play a trick on you. He's not going to be mean and hateful. He's not going to get... And Jesus gives an illustration. I mean, you can almost see it. You know, some people are practical jokers. And here's a guy. You ask him. He's just a friend. You say, he says to you, come over to my house. We'll have some bread for supper. And you get over there, and there on your plate looks like a big old piece of bread. I mean, it looks crusty and good. And you reach out on your plate and you pick it up and you say, well, it didn't rise very well. It's a little heavy. And you bite down on it and break a tooth. And your host just laughs with it. I found that rock out plowing today. It looks so much like a piece of bread. I invited you over just to trick you. Wasn't that funny? Yeah, a friend might do that, so-called friend. But Dad's not going to do that. A kid comes to table hungry, and Dad said, it'll be a good joke to have a rock that looks like a piece of bread. And God, as our Father, He's not going to give us something that we feel like we want and desire, and then it be painful and harmful. He says, if your son asks for a fish, will He give you a serpent? Will you give it? Will the Father give him a serpent? Oh, Dad, I'm hungry for fish. Well, I don't have a perch, but I caught an eel today. It'll be on your plate at supper. Get in there, get ready. Dad, that's not an eel. That's a live rattlesnake. What kind of dad would do that? If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Even not the black scorpion we have, but in Bible times there was a white scorpion that would curl up. And at first glance, it looked like an egg. Dad, I want an egg. Oh, there it is. I'll put one on your plate. Kid reaches out, got a hard-boiled egg, picks it up, it's a scorpion, stings him. I mean, what kind of father would that be? You see, he's saying this thing's based on relationship. I may not get that exact thing I'm asking of God. God may not work it out the way I want Him to work it out. But one thing I can rest assured, He is a good God, and He will be giving, and He will not give me something that's harmful and painful and will ruin me. Do we look at this promise in terms of relationships, or do we tend to look at it in terms of results? Ask and you shall receive. Are you just looking at it in terms of results, or are you looking at it in terms of relationship? When I go to asking, I'm asking a Father who cares for me, who wants the best for me, that's going to give me the best. Amen. That's the one I come to. I'm coming to my Heavenly Father. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Even though we're adults, in God's eyes, sometimes we still ask like children. We're like the kid that says, Dad, can I have chocolate cake for breakfast? Amen. Even God's wisdom is so much greater than ours. And so I want to say, amen, don't quit asking God. To quit asking God is to stop considering Him as a loving and a caring Father. I want to ask you, have you given up on asking God? If you have, you've given up on your Father's. A Christian relationship with God, it goes awry when he begins to seek for things in the world that he should be seeking from his Father. You can tell somebody's relationship with God is slipping when he discovers the things he really desires. He cannot ask them of his Heavenly Father. He must seek for them out in this world. Even somebody can know the relationship is slipping when the things they're desiring are not things the Father would give. Hallelujah. I'd rather trust the Father to give me what I need. Hallelujah. We ask something of someone because we feel that the thing we desire is what they're able to provide. There's men in the church, if you need a tool, you can say, I'll ask them. I know they'll have it. I'll know their habit. There's no need, if you're at Joann Fabric, to ask the clerk if they got RAM for your hard drive, or if they got a 3/4-inch wrench. There's no need to wrench. Amen. Trying to keep the Okie accent down there. Amen. Even no need to ask them. They don't carry that. Even the thing maybe that you're desiring isn't something God carries. But oh, look what He does carry. Look what is in His storehouse. Look what are on the shelves. Hallelujah. Just keep asking and seeking and knocking. It's based on relationship. Two signs of a failing relationship with our Father. We're asking for the wrong thing, or we've stopped asking for anything. I want you to think of all the hard times and places in life that you've been through already. Aren't you glad we can sing, we have a Heavenly Father above. with eyes full of mercy and a heart filled with love. And He really cares when your heart is bowed low. Aren't you glad for a Heavenly Father? How many feels like keep on asking because of relationship? Not because of results. That'll come. But keep on asking because of relationship. And last of all, there is the receiving. There is a result. Verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, when this is shared in Matthew, it just said the Heavenly Father will give good things. It doesn't mention a specific thing as the Holy Spirit. But you see, Jesus, with the mentioning of the Holy Spirit, He has given an example of the kind of things we should be asking the Father for. We're not asking, God, make me rich. God, give me a BMW. You know, God, you know, give me a mansion. We're not asking those kind of things of the Father. Jesus said He'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. He so desires, as Father, to give us the things He knows we most desperately need most. And I want to ask you, in our world, what do we need most? More money or the leadership and guidance and presence of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. How many would admit our most desperate need is the involvement of the Spirit of the Lord in our lives? And Jesus said He'll give the Holy Spirit. Many do not care to ask because they do not care for the things God wants to give. They have other things in mind. What they're wanting is not something they feel that the Father will give. And others know down deep that they desire something they can't ask God for. They're hankering for that which God will not give. But by mentioning the Holy Spirit, we know what God has in mind. God wants to give us grace and peace and mercy and the Holy Spirit and empowerment and strength and faith. Hallelujah. Power in the name of Jesus. Those are the kind of things of Father. I'm not saying He doesn't meet material needs. He certainly does. I'm talking about what ought to be foremost in our seeking. We need the things that the Father so desires to give us. I'll tell you some prayers God will hear. Amen. He'll hear, forgive me, for I have sinned. He'll hear, God, change me. He'll hear prayers, God, help me. I'm desperate. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to think. My heart is heavy. My heart is injured. He'll hear those kind of prayers. Hallelujah. He'll hear the kind of prayers that says, God, turn me. Oh, God, burn up the chaff and the dross of my life and living. Purify my heart, my mind. God, give me grace. God, give me strength. God, give me the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus mentions the Holy Spirit. Those are the things the Father wants to bestow upon His children. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I know He answers prayer for material things too. But our greatest needs are not material. They are spiritual. Would you come, music? Proverbially, men do not like to ask for directions. One of the worst things in the world for me to do is to be in a store and ask a clerk where something is. They ought to put it where it's intuitive, where it makes sense. It ought to be. I shouldn't have to ask. It ought to be right where I'm looking for it. You can get that attitude with God too. But it's not just with directions and in the store. Men don't like to ask help for medical, family, domestic, emotional problems either. Men will almost never be the one to ask for marriage counseling. about 85-90% of the time it's the woman. Men just don't want to ask for help. And because of that reluctance, men in the United States die an average of 7 years younger than women and have higher rates in the top 15 categories of causes of death because men don't ask for help. That carries over to the church. Not just with men, but in a sense with all of us. People just don't want to ask for what they so desperately need. But I want you to hear the words of Christ this morning. Whatever your need, whatever your situation, listen, what's He saying? What's He saying? Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. For he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. And don't think God's going to play tricks on you, because He's not ever going to give you a bad thing. If He puts it on your plate, it'll be a good thing. And let me give you an idea of the kind of things that the Father will give His children. He'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. That looks like a willing Father. We don't have to overcome His reluctance. We only have to overcome our reservation and lack of resolve. I don't know if you feel that way this morning, but if you hear the words of Christ, you've been seeking Him, you've been asking Him, but this morning you feel a faith arise in your heart and say, I'm going to keep on asking, I'm going to keep on seeking. If you're feeling that way, I want you to stand right where you are, lift your hearts and hands and say, God, I'm going to keep asking, I'm going to keep seeking, I'm going to keep knocking. It's not just about results. It's about my relationship with You. I refuse to look anywhere else for what only You can give, God. Only You can work. Only You can touch. I need You, Lord. I've got to have You. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, ask Him to forgive you. He'll forgive you. He'll do it. He'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here, you're seeking this morning, He'll be found of you. He'll be found of you if you'll seek Him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if you're here, you'd begin to come, whatever the need might be, and say, I'm going to keep asking My Father. I'm going to keep seeking in Him. I'm going to keep knocking at His door. Amen. If that's you, I want you to come right now. I'm not giving up on My Father. I've got a relationship with Him. He's My Father. I'm His child. Hallelujah. I'm just going to keep asking. Never give up. Never turn around. Never let up. Press on in. Press on through. Ask. Keep asking. Seek. Keep seeking. Knock. Keep knocking. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Hallelujah. Oh, don't look for a stone this morning. Look for bread from heaven. Oh, that's it. Fill these altars. Don't look for a stone this morning. Look for bread from heaven.
Bread. And to him who knocks, the door will be open.
Yes. 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 Oh, hallelujah. It may not be what I desire, but it'll be what God the Father sees best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the door will be open to you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
The door will be open to you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Everyone who asks,
ask,
receives.
Ask.
Him who seeks will find.
Oh, thank You, Jesus.
Him who knocks, the door will be open. The door will be open to you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye
shall He'll find give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. He's your Father.
And the door will
He's
be
your Father.
Open to you.
He's your Father. Hallelujah.
The door will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. One who seeks will find.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And to him who
yes,
knocks,
Lord.
The door
yes,
will
Lord.
Be open.
Thank you, Father.
The door will be open.
Thank
to
you, Father.
You.
Grace and mercy
everyone
and peace
who asks
and love from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus
everyone
Christ.
Everyone who seeks
oh,
will find.
He'll give the Holy Spirit. He'll give help. He'll give grace. He'll give peace.
The door will be open. The door will be open.
Oh, are you searching for what you need in God?
Ask.
Are you searching for it from God?
Given to you.
Oh, Jesus.
Seek.
Jesus.